Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of Acts. I'm reading Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for working through our lives and the history of the church, Lord, here in MKPC, Lord. And as we listen to your word and your message to us, especially on this 30th year, we pray, Lord, that your spirit will move our hearts to listen and to obey. Teach us, Lord, what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very blessed 30th anniversary, one and all. We praise God for his faithfulness, you know, for putting us together, for his faithfulness over the 30 years together. Now, the church, our humble roots, began 30 years ago. It began with a group of brothers and sisters who uprooted themselves from the comfort of the home church then, Covenant Presbyterian Church, to plant a congregation here. The principal of Presbyterian High School was calling out to the synod, "Look, this is a Christian school, and we don't have a church to support its chaplaincy. We don't have a Christian community to reach out to the students and the people around here." And so this message was relayed to the synod and to the churches, and this group of brothers and sisters in Covenant Presbyterian Church heard the Macedonian call and respond to it. They left the comfort and the familiarity of the community and planted themselves here. And over the three decades, the Lord has used this congregation to touch many lives. Students from Presbyterian High School were attracted to the fellowship of the church, the love and touch of the community, and lives were transformed. And these students' lives include Reverend Jackson, Pastor Jordan, Pastor Wen Chong, and myself. Three of our deacons, Deacon Jia Hui, Deacon Wilson, and Deacon Ke Qing, and along with many church members, are all PHS alumni. The Lord didn't just draw students from the school. Our children also grow to be youths, young adult, and adult, serving in various ministries. And the Lord also brought together people from the neighborhood and the community to be part of the body of Christ here over the 30 years. So we are very thankful to God for each and every one who is now part of the body of Christ here. And we are very clear why the Lord bring us together. It is stated in our mission to worship God, to care for one another, make disciples in PHS and in our community, and serve in mission. This is why we are here, and it will not change, because this is why the Lord placed us here, our purpose and our calling. We are also very convicted about the kind of community we want to be, or rather the Lord wants us to be. And that is a vibrant church growing and influencing others towards Christ-likeness. That is God's vision for us. But what does a vibrant church look like? What does it mean to grow and to influence others towards Christ-likeness? The theme for our 30th anniversary is a common love. And I'm very glad that the Lord has directed the anniversary committee to this theme and this passage that we just heard in Acts. I think they make the job very easy for me. Because the more I meditate on this passage, the more I'm convicted that this is the word of God for us as we celebrate our 30th year together. So I'd like us to look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, our passage tells of the birth of a new community in history, the church. Just before our text, 3,000 heard the message about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit moved their hearts. They repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. People of different languages, cultures, coming from different cities, repented and have a common faith in Jesus Christ. And our passage tells how this new community live out their faith despite their differences. There are four things that the church devote themselves to: the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, the fellowship, and prayer. But for our sermon, I want to categorize into 3 points. A common love for God's word, a common love for worship, and a common love for one another. The first thing that Luke, the biblical author, describes of this church, this new community, is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were mainly Jesus' disciples. They have spent 3 years with Jesus. The disciples have heard Jesus' instructions about his kingdom, what it means to follow him as his disciples. They are recorded for us in the Gospels. Jesus has mentored these disciples on what it means to follow him as Savior and Lord. And before our passage, in Acts 2, through Peter's sermon, we get a glimpse of what the apostles' teaching compromised. Peter was preaching this, and his teaching includes that Jesus is the Son of God, the promised one. He came, he suffered, he died on the cross for us. A lot of emphasis was put on the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. He is the living God. And all these proofs and show us that Jesus is both our Lord and Savior. That is the fundamental thing in the apostles' teaching. But we also see in Peter's teaching that his sermon was seasoned with the teachings and the prophecies of the Old Testament. Peter, through his sermon, showed how Jesus fulfills the prophecies of the Old. And that tells us that a complete understanding of the apostles' teaching includes scriptures of the old and new. The apostles' teachings were very precious to the early church. We can imagine that. They don't have the luxury of holding the Bible in their hand. The furthest they have probably are scrolls of the Old Testament in the synagogue. They don't have the New Testament because it was not compiled at that point of time. Paper and printing was a much, much later invention. So it means a lot to hear this good news for the early church. It means a lot to receive a letter from the apostles and it being read to the church. It means a lot for an apostle to visit the church and to share with them their experience with Jesus. You can imagine the early believers, like little children's brightly lit eyes, asking the apostles, "Tell us more about Jesus, this Son of God. Tell us of your experience with him. You were there with him." They devoted themselves to this and were nourished by the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to ask us today, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your devotion for God's Word today? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you and I rate our devotion for the Word of God today? Do you look forward to listen to what God might say to us at a Sunday service? Do we desire to go to a CG meeting to hear what God is speaking through our CG members and what we can share in our learnings? We are in a pandemic. And I think that the pandemic is not just a concern for our physical health. It also threatens our spiritual health. You know, now that the service is online, things can get very convenient. We can get very complacent also. It is tempting to excuse ourselves from watching the service. Watch it a later time. But a later time may not come. It is also easy to be distracted by many things that is happening around us. You know, I was thinking, now today we have a variety of vaccines that we can choose from, isn't it, for our health. Do we have a vaccine for our spiritual health? As I was preparing this message, there is a phrase that stood out to me. And it is these three words. They devoted themselves. It's actually a very powerful phrase. They devoted themselves. The word devoted in this original language means to attach yourself, give your heart wholeheartedly towards something. It is like a young parent devotes herself to her baby when she's crying. It is like when you fall in love with somebody, you devote yourself to this person. You want to spend time with this person. You want to do the things that she likes or he wants. And this phrase in the original language carries with it the idea of being persistent and persevering. It is not just out of emotion, but it is a commitment because they devoted themselves. The early church, if I can put it this way, they are stubborn. They are very stubborn when it comes to the Word of God. They won't let go. That is what it means to be devoted. They are stubborn about opportunities to hear and to listen to the Word of God. They are jealous about this time. And brothers and sisters, this is an example to follow. As we consider God's word for us today. Devote yourself first to the word of God. If there's one thing that you and I need to guard tightly, it is the times that we hear the word of God. And the church will not take any chances in this. They make a commitment, they devote themselves. And we too need to make that commitment. The time to listen to God's word will be an uncompromising part of our lives. That is what it means to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. The first thing we learn is a common love, a devotion for the word of God. The second thing we see among these believers is they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And that brings us to the next point, a common love for worship. Now, the church corporate worship includes different components, including singing. But we look at two aspects that is in this passage, the celebrating of the sacrament and prayer. And verse 42 tells us they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Scholars debate what this breaking of bread means. Is it really referring to the sacrament or just having meals? There is a place to gather for regular meal, and I'm going to talk quite a bit on it later. But the breaking of bread here, first mentioned, secondly, it is mentioned again in verse 46. But in verse 42, I prefer the view of some scholars that refers this breaking of bread to the Lord's Supper. You see, the phrase, the breaking of bread, lies within the context of the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. These are spiritual activities, and this breaking of bread must be of spiritual significance. Why did the church devote themselves to partake the Holy Communion together? Jesus has commanded us. He did not give us an option. He said in Luke 22, "Do this in remembrance of me." It is not an option for us. The Lord knows that we are forgetful people. He wants us to remember each time you take the Holy Communion, you remember the love of God. You remember not your sin, you remember God's mercy. You remember His grace. And whatever that you are going through, remember that He will come again. Because He says, "I will not partake of this meal until the end of age." There is a feast that is coming on. Some of us are here, majority of us are at home. But when we partake of this sacrament together, we no longer come as individuals, but as the body of Christ. And that means that you are a part of me, and I am a part of you. Together, God affectionately calls us the body of Christ. The body, that means if one part feels pain, the other part will feel it also. That is the affection that God has for His body. And for the Presbyterian Church, our understanding of celebrating the Holy Communion is more than just a memorial. John Calvin says that whenever the church celebrates the Holy Communion, Christ is indeed present with the church in a very special way. And he calls this a mystery. The common love in worship is seen in how the church come together to celebrate the communion. It also seen in their devotion to prayer. They were devoted through prayer. And when we examine the book of Acts, we will notice there is so much interceding for the church, for the apostles, for their situation. There are set times where the early church believers still keep to their Jewish tradition to go to the synagogue to pray. And we read of prayers for the apostles to speak boldly, for prayers of the salvation of people, prayers that praises God. The church gathered at night, overnight, when Peter was caught, put in jail, and about to be executed. The miraculous power of the church prayer, God worked and freed Peter miraculously. That is a praying church, a church that upholds one another in prayer. And God works through the prayer of the church. It is very encouraging to see many of us coming to our monthly Zoom prayer meeting. We gather to pray for the world in this pandemic. We gather to pray for missions. We gather to pray for our church ministries. We pray for one another. I enjoy the breakout room session where we get to meet and share and pray. I understand that sometimes it can be awkward to pray for someone you don't really know. I'd like to encourage us. Give your brothers and sisters the opportunity to pray for you. Give yourself the opportunity to be prayed for. And see God works through our prayers. The early church has a common love for God's word, a common love for worship. They also have another devotion or love for someone. And this is the common love for one another. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. What is the fellowship? The word fellowship in Greek, koinonia, it means, literally, it means sharing in common. We share in common. Koinonia happens when it's unique to a Christian community, when we share our lives together. This is an idea of a church that shares lives with one another closely. You know, in our society today, the sharing of lives with one another is getting more and more alien. More and more, it is, I want my private space and my private life. I do not want people to intrude. If I am in trouble, my first instinct is to maybe search online for some resources, some avenues, or seek a professional help. There's a place for that, certainly. But do we also consider that God has provided the community that we can turn to, we can seek God's will together and receive help? There's an article in the Straits Times early this week that reports that people with a religion have better mental health. Studies have shown that they're far better in spirituality, emotional support, and general coping. From a theological perspective, that is how God wired us. We are not meant to be individuals. We are meant to be in a community. We are communal beings. God Himself exists in a community, a Trinitarian relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The moment we are born into relationships. And Jesus saved us not just from sin and death, but to be part of the body of Christ. He puts us in a relationship. Some of our struggles can be solved within a context of a caring community. You know, you notice in this passage that the early Christians developed a habit of meeting one another very regularly. It's very interesting that Luke describes these believers as always together. Verse 44, and all who believed were together, day by day, attending the temple together. And after worship, they had meals in one another's home together. Now, we noticed earlier that believers gather for spiritual activities like listening to the apostles' teachings, to worship, to prayer. But what we sense in this passage is that their fellowship is not just for spiritual activities, though are very important, but it's also integrated to the whole of their lives, having meals together. In the King James Version, verse 46 reads this way, breaking bread from house to house, they eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart. House to house, they go house to house. You know, it's like, every Sunday is like Chinese New Year, you know? Meeting believers, go house to house, sharing a meal together. Maybe at that time don't have refreshment canteen for you. So they meet in one another's house. There are occasions God fellowship with his people over a meal. One striking illustration is in Exodus 24. You know, after that covenant, that very serious covenant ceremony, Moses brought 70 of the church of Israel's leaders to meet God at a mountain. And when the 70 elders saw God at the mountain, they were full of fear and reverence. But the very next thing that is recorded for us is that they were having a meal together. And he highlights that when God makes a covenant, a relationship with his people, he commits, the meal tells that he commits into a relationship. It's not just an academic relationship that he has with you and I. It is a relationship, a human relationship, and it's symbolized by that meal. We look into the gospel, when Jesus came, he did not seclude himself, but he was always at meal gatherings. So much so that people accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard when he was eating meals, having parties with sinners. It is thought-provoking why the Lord wants us to remember him through a meal. A meal tells that you have a relationship with me. We don't generally eat with strangers, do we? We meet, when we have a meal with someone, it tells a lot. We have a relationship. I want to know you deeper and better. During my CG discussion on that, you know, wonderful 30th anniversary material, I think we had a good time of sharing the front part. But then one of our CG members asked that, you know, why did our initiative on Lamb of the being lambs for Christ die down? Remember Lambs for Christ? And the particular aspect she was talking about was makan with somebody. And she commented this, you know, that Lambs for Christ do not just need to be for evangelism purpose. It is a very good tool to build relationships, actually. You know, look out for somebody. That somebody can be a believer, a newcomer. And I thought that that's a very good consideration. Let's not forget this. You know what it stands for, right? Look out for someone. Ask God, pray for the person. Makan with the person. Believer or non-believer, somebody that God placed in our hearts, proclaim the gospel. If the person is not a Christian, share your story with one another. Let's encourage one another to do this. The early church had this desire to meet one another, eat together, and it shows us that the desire to know one another deeply. And that tells that we are meant to have a very deep relationship with one another. And the joy, the enrichment, the security that comes from a caring community certainly outweighs the inconvenience of getting close to know people. We are richer if we live in community. Now, understandably, there's limitations at this pandemic, but hopefully, you know, as more and more as we open up, we also open our lives to one another. Work within the guidelines and connect with one another. Now, later at our 30th anniversary Zoom meeting, we're going to have a meal with one another. Not the most ideal because it's virtual, but at least something. Go into our breakout rooms, we share a meal, our favorite meal. It may be awkward to eat over Zoom, I've not tried it, but I'm there for the fellowship with my brothers and sisters, and I hope that you'll be there too. Koinonia is a sharing of lives. Koinonia is also practical and heartfelt because it shares with those in need. And there's something very clear in verse 44. They were together. They don't see their possessions as mine or yours, but they had everything in common. They sold their property and possession and give it to those in need. The church shares with those in need. So much so they're willing to give up what they have. It is as though they live with eyes and ears open to the community. Who is in need? Gossip, gossip. This person is in need. Okay, let me give up something for them. And that's what koinonia is. The gospel binds us into intimate relationship that motivates us to share with others. Last year, we received the job support scheme from the government. And the JSS is to support employers to help them retain their employees in this very difficult time of economic uncertainty. Our finances were not affected in 2020. That is because of your sacrificial giving. And so the leadership decided to donate the entire sum. It's quite a huge sum of 100-odd thousands. To Christian organizations and missionaries, whom we have fellowship over the years. And when we did that, you know, I received a number of email responses. And these missionaries and church organizations, Christian organizations, they are very grateful. They are very grateful that we remember them, especially in such times. Some of them have experienced a cut in their support. And they said that our giving was timely. It lifted them because they know that God is taking care of them through us. At our last EDC retreat, Elders and Deacons Court retreat, we were concerned and we spent quite some time thinking about you, our members, how to care for you in this pandemic. There are limitations. It used to be that we are able to sense it when we interact with people after service, but now, unfortunately, we have to ask you to go back after service. But brothers and sisters, although we receive secondary information, but I want to encourage us individually, as a part of the body of Christ, keep a lookout for people in your CG, people that God loves. Keep a lookout for them, especially those who have gone missing for some time. Reach out to them. A simple WhatsApp message, a catch-up, that shows a lot. Rick Warren, in his book, purpose-driven life writes that spiritual growth is relational. We grow spiritually when we are in community with people. And maturity is not about how much you know, but how much you love. What is the result of a vibrant church? We notice a few things. The result of vibrancy and growth in the early church in a few ways. Number one, verse 43, awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done. When the church gave attention to the word, worship, and how they care for one another, the presence of God is deeply felt by people, by the church. We see in the book of Acts a couple of occasions where God miraculously worked, whether to save the apostles from jail, from death. God's power is seen through the healing and the answered prayer. The second outcome we see in verse 46 is they act with glad and sincere hearts. There is joy within the community as the church devotes itself to these essentials. The third result we see in verse 47, the Lord added to their numbers. As the church lived their communal lives, their love for one another was attractive to the world outside. And the Lord used the church to bring in more people into his kingdom. And we notice that evangelism is not just sharing the good news. That is important. Helping people experience God in a community. That is part of evangelism. You know, as I was preparing the message, I was reminded of the church in Revelation 4 came to mind. And Jesus' rebuke to that church in Ephesus was that you have abandoned your first love. For a long time, I was wondering, what is this first love? What does it mean, this first love? And as I look at the passage in Acts chapter 2, it tells what this love is. It is a devotion, a common love for God's word. It is a common love for worship. And it is a common love for one another. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's vision for us is a vibrant church growing and influencing others towards Christ-likeness. And in Acts chapter 2, we see a picture of our vision. This is what it looks like, a vibrant church growing and influencing others towards Christ-likeness. A church that devotes itself to a common love for God's word, for worship, and for one another. And I believe that over these 30 years, we have exhibited these qualities. The Lord has worked within our history in these 30 years to bring people into His kingdom. And I believe the Lord's call for us is not to forget this first love. He calls us to devote ourselves afresh to these things. So I want to invite all of us to stand where you are, whether you are in church or you are at home. Let's stand. I want to invite us to commit ourselves individually. And as the body of Christ here, to devote ourselves to what God calls us to today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we are grateful for the love that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you instituted the church over history. You put Amokyo Presbyterian Church. You brought each one of us from different backgrounds, different culture, different language together. And you affectionately call us the body of Christ here in Amokyo. Over these 30 years, Lord, we have experienced your goodness in our individual lives and also as a body of Christ here, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if times like this we have been lethargic. Renew us, Lord. Renew your people with a fresh devotion for your word, to worship you, to pray, and to love one another. Enable us, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. And may your presence never depart from us, but deeply felt that many more will come to know you through us. Commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.